Kumlan in a Black Gemara, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Bereishis, we're in Daf Samach Ches Amar Aleph. So the last thing we learned was about that water that spilled out, and Rabbah suggested that they ask a goy to bring it from his house, because it turned out to be there was no Erev in the Chatzar, there was no Shittuf in the Mavi, and according to one opinion, if all the Chatzeros were joined into the street, they don't even need a particular Eidah for the Chatzah. Turned out to be they never had one. So the Gemara continues five lines from the top. Amalei Rabba Bar Avchana Labaya. So Rabba Bar Avchana said to Abaya, Mevoya, a street, the East Bay Trey Gavra, a street that has two Gavra Ravri, two great people living there. Rabba lived there and Abaya lived there. Kirabana, like you rabbis, Loi Lehevi Bay, Loi Eidah Vele Shittuv, there's no Eidah of a Chatzah, there's no Shittuv of a street. Amalei Abaye said, "My Navid, what do you want me to do? Ma, when it comes to Rabbi Lav Urche, it's pasnished. It's inappropriate for him to go door knocking and ask people to contribute a piece of bread and to join in the shittif. I know, what about me? I'm just a student. Tarina Begisa, I'm too busy learning. The Mordechai over here, one of the Rishonim in the back of the Gemara, learns that this is actually a very fundamental argument here between Rabbi Bar Avchanan and Abaye. According to Rabbi Bar Avchanan, if you can make an Eidav in a city, then you have a mitzvah to make an Eidav in the city. So he was wondering how Abaye and Rabbah didn't have an Eidav in the street so that everybody can carry. And Abaye was of the opinion, there's no such mitzvah, it's just an accommodation, and therefore I'm busy and I don't have to do it. So a very interesting argument here, the way he learns. The Gemara continues. So why don't I ask the people in town to do it? They don't care. The e akni luhu pita b'salo. So what can I do to make it easy? Take 2 seconds. I can go ahead and take a piece of bread in the basket and have in mind everybody in the community and be mezakeh them, which you can do. So he says, not so simple, because I'm a very poor person. Kiva the iboyla menoyev. They would come forward. Anybody who's included in my aid would say, give me a piece of the bread of the Eidav. At least for Nele, can I give it to him every week? Because I just don't have it. Then, bottle shittif. It cancels the entire shittif. The whole of the joining together would be cancelled. Because there is no bread really there for somebody else. Here I was mezakeh to them, and now if he asked for it, I won't give it to him. That means I never really gave it to him wholeheartedly. And the Tanya we learned, and how do I know that's important? The Tanya could be learned in Ebraisa, Echem Ebrei Mavi, one of the members of the street, Shebikish Yayin B'Shemen, ask for wine or oil. Because when it comes to by a chotzer, we use bread, matzah, whatever. When it comes to Shittim Avoyas, they actually used to use wine. So if a guy comes and asks me for some wine or oil, and you didn't give it to him, then bottle HaShittiv. It shows that the whole Shittiv wasn't genuine, and the Shittiv falls away. So therefore, I couldn't be mezakeh because I don't really have enough, and the whole thing falls apart. So therefore, I had no breda. So Abaye said I couldn't afford it, and maybe Rabba couldn't afford it either, or maybe Rabba could afford it, but he didn't do it for whatever reason. Benikna lemash, and I said to him, okay, let's say wine is expensive or bread is expensive. So give them, you know what? You have a warehouse, you have barrels of vinegar, which is a lot more cheap. It's a lot cheaper, more expensive. Just say that one of the barrels or half of one of the barrels is the shittuf, is going to be the eidav for the whole place. So he's the Abaye, he says he can't. Tan, we learned, if you don't designate a particular barrel or something, you just say, oh, in my warehouse, one of the barrels, I have 10 barrels there, one of them or half of them is for the shittuf. It doesn't work. And that's why I couldn't do that either. Says the Gemara of Tanya, but we learned another braisa, the mishtatfin, you can do that. Omar Abayish said, these braisa are actually arguing. And what are they arguing on? Loi kasha, ha beishame beisil. If I don't designate a particular barrel, I'll just say there's a barrel in my warehouse. So during the week when I use my warehouse to take vinegar, how do I know that the vinegar that I took during the week wasn't that barrel that I set aside for the Erev? So we need to apply the rule that we learned a while ago called Breira. We learned Daf Yud Zayin. Breira means it's retrospective or retroactive. When we then take vinegar during the week, I would say that proves all along when I set it aside last week, this wasn't the barrel that I had in mind. That's called Breira. And there's an argument whether we say yesh breira or ain breira. And we'll say the Beis Shammai does not believe in breira, and Besidl does. So the Braisa that says that you cannot use your warehouse says there's no breira. So at the time when you set it aside, we didn't know which one it is. So every time you take some vinegar, they were always worried that maybe the vinegar you're taking is from the shittuf. And come Shabbos, there won't be anything left of that vinegar. But if you hold yesh breira, we'll say that whatever you took out for your own personal use during the week was not the intended vinegar that you had in mind last week. And what's the story? How do you know they're arguing that? Now we learned. We learned this already before as well. If you have a corpse in the house and all the doors are sealed and locked, there's no doorways, then like a tomb, then everything in that area becomes tummy. But if you have a doorway that's open, we're going to assume that that's the doorway. What do you mean everything? Including all the doorposts that are not part of the room, they're part of the doorpost, all become tummy because we don't know which way you're going to go out. But even if you have a little section that's one tefah by one tefah, maybe eventually you're going to dig it out and turn that into the opening. You can take the mace out, the corpse out. But if you have one doorway, we're going to say that that's the door you're going to use. Then all the other doors that are closed or sealed are not going to be the door that you're going to use, so therefore at least the inner part of the doorpost don't become tummy, because it's not part of the house, and that's not going to be the door that will be used. But now we learned, hamais, if there's a corpse, but bias in the house, and there are many doors, and you don't know which doorway you're going to use, kulon, tummy, and they're all tummy. Any keli that's sitting in any doorway becomes tummy. Even though they're not found in the room itself, they're inside the doorpost, nevertheless, on the lintel, because we don't know which door you're going to bring it out from. And therefore, they become tummy straight away. Rashi says there's no logic to this. This is like a halacha Moshe Vesidif, from the laws of Tumah. And even if you have an opening merely a tefach by tefach, that's a possibility also. You know, what happens? Niftach. If let's say one of the doors were open, then there's no question that's the door you can use, and all the other sealed areas you're probably not going to use. Who tummy? So that's the only doorway that we say if there's any vessels inside the doorway is tummy, but cool, and all the other ones are tired. What about chishuv lohitzia be'echad mehen? You thought, let's say you didn't, the number of doors, and you thought you're going to use the door on the right. You didn't do anything about it. You just had a thought that you can do it on the right. Or a particular opening. You have a cavity in the wall that's 4x4. So then, again, even though you didn't do anything, you have a number of doors, but I thought that I'm going to be using this particular door, then that becomes a door, and that's the one that's tummy, everything else is tired. But here we have an interesting argument, Beis Shammai says, it had to be that you thought about that door before the guy died. Because once the guy is dead, at the time he died, you didn't know which doorway you're going to use. Tomorrow you decided to use this door, it's not retroactive. And therefore, all the doors became tummy. And because the moment that he died, since we didn't know which door to use, they all became tummy. And even though later on you decide to use that door, it's not, it doesn't work, you know, it's not retroactive, and therefore everything became tummy ready. And even any vessels you put there after you thought become tummy. Why? Because once these doorways became tummy, they're tummy. So even though on Monday he died, Tuesday he decided which door it is, Wednesday you put some kalim in the other doors, they also become tummy according to Mishameh, because all these doorways became tummy on Monday. Because he doesn't believe in Breira. Beis Hillel says, Af Mishayon, even though the thought came after the guy died, it still works, because he believes in Breira. He says retroactive. The same thing here is with the warehouse. If you hold Yesh Breira, then any vinegar you took for yourself will say that wasn't intended to be used for the Shetufim Mevois. If you don't believe in Breira, then you can't use a warehouse, because every time you'll take vinegar, maybe that's the vinegar that was meant to be for the Shetufim Mevois. For the Erev, and therefore it's no good. Continuing talking about a child, says the Gemara here. There was a child. Now remember, once the child is circumcised, this child is considered sakana. It's a question of life and death, and there's no questions asked. We go ahead and we save the child. Here we're talking about preparations prior to the child being gemalot. So now, you need it. Yesterday we learned about a case where you had to carry the hot water through a carnelis, which also the Rabbanon, and we said you can have a goy doing it. Big machlek is showing him how to learn the Gemara we learned yesterday in the top of the page, where the way we learned was, which is the halacha, that we only allow a shvus to shvus l'tzarech mitzvah, which means
talking to a goy is the rabbanon, and then the isa that the goy is allowed to do is the rabbanon. And if it's a shavus to shavus, a double the rabbanon, we allow you to ask a goy to do things. So you don't have to hint; you can tell him if it's a tzarich mitzvah. But you can't, for example, tell a goy in a shul turn on the lights. Because telling a goy to turn on the lights, that's an isa deraisa. And even though telling a goy is rabbanon, that's only a single shvus. And we don't do a single shvus for a mitzvah, only a double shvus. The same thing is for regarding a choyle, she'ein by sakana, an ordinary sick person. Lying in bed, you can get a goy to do things, but only a certain rabbanon. That's how we learn, that's how we paskin. But the other rishayim we learn that no, the difference with the Gemara meant on top was, the whole idea of a goy is rabbanon, you can tell a goy to do anything, even an isa deraisa, even turning on the lights. Lutzarech mitzvah, or lutzarech chayla, which we don't follow. Okay, talking about it further. So what should we do now? The hot water spilled out, and here, heating up the hot water is already an isa deraisa. And interesting, over here we don't say, ask a goy, so that proves maybe that we don't ask a goy to do an isa deraisa, when lutzarech mitzvah, or maybe this method, this is an easy one to do, because we don't have to get a goy, it's an easier method. Says Rava, Amlu Rava, Nishayil Ime. Now, we know that a woman who gives birth the first 7 days after she gives birth, or the first 3 days, she's considered a choyle sheyesh bo sakana, and the first seven, no matter what it is, we do el malacha. The first 7 days, she has to ask for it, we'll do it. But once 7 days go by, we're no longer mechal Shabbos for her. Now, this is a bris, so obviously this is the 8th day. So, we ask the mother, if she says after the 7 days she still needs to have hot water, then we're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for her, but she's still allowed, she's like a sick person. Not her life is not in peril, but she's a sick person, so you're allowed to have a goy doing things. Is nachim lo nachre agav ime? You're allowed to have a goy. Ask a goy to heat up the water, so it sounds like you're allowed to have a goy to do an isa d'araisa, but here it's for a choyla. So there's a difference between a choyla and a mitzvah. And a choyla, you can have a goy doing isa d'araisa, but not when it comes to do a mitzvah. And, okay, so let's ask a goy to do a mitzvah. So now, if the mother needs it, so once you're ready cooking for the mother, you can also add for the child. If the mother, we ask the mother, do you need hot water? And she'll say she needs hot water. Then you can add for the child as well. That's how we go about doing it. So interesting. To do it for the child itself, it's a tzarich mitzvah. We won't have the goy doing it. It's only the mother is sick, which seems to support the shining will hold that for a mitzvah, you cannot have a goy doing an isa deraisa, only isa rabbanon. That's why when it comes to heating the water, we need to ask the mother, see how she's doing. You're going to ask the mother, she's not sick. I saw her eating cold dates. She doesn't need hot water. So he said, the fact that he's saying eat cold dates, you think it proves anything? Maybe her mind, she's disoriented, and therefore she doesn't even know what she's doing. Maybe some kind of like a seizure or something, that she's not really thinking straight, gripped her. And therefore she doesn't prove anything. Another case, Ayinuka child ishtab chamimi, the hot water poured out. Omalu Rava said, this is, if you look at the picture on the bottom right hand side of the page, you'll see like this. In Rava's house, in front of the house is the chotzer. In front of the house is the room where everybody used to congregate. In the back of the house, he had private rooms for the women of the house, for tznius. So they had no direct entrance or exit to the chotzer. It's the room of the men that had the entrance and exit to the chotzer. And there was hot water right there in the front of that room. And then there was a chotzer, and then in the other chotzer, there was a child. And the child needed hot water, and the hot water spilled out. It seems to be a very common event. They used to pour out the hot water there, or spilled out. Anyway, Amr Rav said, this is what we should do. I'm going to figure out a way of how to transport the hot water from our chotzer into the next chotzer. And that is, remember we had a machlekes of Yechon and Shmuel, if you can relinquish your rights in another chatzar. So, but Rabbi Yechon says you can, and Shmuel says he can't. Rava is going to follow Rabbi Yechon here, and he's going to relinquish his rights to the other, relinquish his rights of his chatzar to the people in the other chatzar. Therefore, they can just come in and take the hot water and bring it to themselves. And he can't do anything. So he's going to move into the inner recesses of his house, the woman's quarters, so he shouldn't forget himself and carry things into the chatzah, because every Shabbos he did, and he'll forget that he gave over his rights. He hasn't, because once you give over your rights, then you remove your rights from the chatzah, you can no longer take from your own house into the chatzah. So Amud Rav said, Panuli Mani, remove my clothes, my kalim, the Be Gavri from the outer room where the men used to congregate, the Be Noshi to the inner room where the women were. And then the Ezel, the Ezev Hasam, I will sit there. The Ivatelu HaChatzot, I am going to relinquish my rights in my Chatzot. I'll transfer it to the guys next door, so they can go ahead and get the hot water and so on. So that's what they can do. And why am I moving out all my kalins? I shouldn't forget myself and carry it into Chatzot because I have no right to. I'm living in the Rabbah. Living in the Rabbah. But Amar Shmuel, didn't Shmuel say Ein Bittel Rishus Mechatzot LeChatzot? You cannot remove your rights. Renounce your rights from one chatzah to another chatzah. So what are you doing? Amalei said, who said I hold like Shmuel? Ano ke Rabbi Yechon Svidali. I hold like Rabbi Yechon. The Amar who holds, yes, bitul mechatzah lechatzah. You could move from one chatzah to another chatzah. So he said to him, so let me ask you a question. If you don't hold a Shmuel, then why b'chal neisev ma beduchtes? I have an easy solution for you. Why do you have to then move the rest of Shabbos into the back room and move all your kalim with you because you say the rest of Shabbos I cannot carry from my house in the chutzah? Yes, you can. If you hold a Rabbi Yechon, there's another thing you do. Say for 1 hour you're going to relinquish your rights so they can all move, and the next hour they're going to relinquish their rights or give you back your rights so that you're going to live back like normal. Because Rabbi Yechon holds that you can give up your rights for an hour or two and then take it right back on Shabbos. Just like you can give up your rights on Shabbos, you can take it back. Nesim ma beduchte, stay in the room that you were always there, and v'nevatelahu ledidhu, give up your rights to them for an hour or so, and then v'neder inu levatelahman, and then they'll give it right back to you. So why don't you just do that? Yeah, because it sounds like what you're doing is it's fine. It's final. Once you gave it up, you cannot take it back. And who holds it? That's Shmuel, who says that you cannot be mevatel and then be mevatel a second time. So l'cheira, what's going on here? If you hold Rabbi Yechon, then you go all the way. So what are you so worried about? Says the Gemara, what am I talking about? The Ha'omer Rav says, mevatlin v'chayzim mevatlin. Rav says, you can renounce your rights, and then they can renounce it back and give it right back to you. Two people live in the chatzah. I can give you my rights for an hour or two, take care of all your needs, and then you give me back my rights. So he answered, b'ha'ah. Kishmul Srile. Rav answered, when it comes to this aspect of Chayzim Mevatlin, I hold like Shmuel, you can't do it again. The Amr says, Evavat Chayzim Mevatlin. So Ravina says to him, I don't understand. These two arguments are actually one and the same. Why do you think Shmuel holds you cannot be Mevatl a second time? Very simple. Since Shmuel holds you cannot be Mevatl from one Chatzah to another Chatzah, so if I'm Mevatl Marashus, that means I'm no longer a member of this Chatzah. If I'm no longer a member of this chatzah, then that guy cannot be mevatel reshus 2 hours later back to me, because you're not allowed to be mevatel from one reshus to another. I'm no longer considered a member of this chatzah because I gave up all my rights. So therefore, Shmuel holds you cannot give it back to me. But and Rav holds like Rabbi Yechon that you could give up your rights, even to another chatzah. So therefore, he says that I can give you my rights. I'm no longer a member of the chatzah, and then you give it right back to me. So how can it be that you hold like Shmuel that you cannot be, that you hold like Yechon, that you could give up your rights in another chatzah, yet you hold, you cannot give it back to me? It doesn't make sense. The love chat time, which all the same reasoning. My time, what is the reason why Shmuel said you cannot be mevatel and the other guy cannot be mevatel afterwards? Isn't the reason? The moment I renounce my rights, I'm no longer a member of this chatzah. I'm like a member of another chatzah. I'm a member of another chatzah. There ain't bitl reshus mechatzel chatzah, and you cannot be a vatel reshus from one chatzah to another. So the tamar nami lembevatel. So how can you be mevatel? Yeah, it's from one chatzah to another chatzah. Isn't it? So how can it be? You can't have it both ways. So Rebbe said you got it all wrong. You know why? Everyone baby holds you cannot, you could move a vatel from one chatzah to another chatzah. You can't, it makes no difference. You know what the argument is? Not because you're considered a member of another chatzah. I can hold a Rabbi Yechon that you could move a vatel to another chatzah, but you know why once I'm a vatel, the other guy can't give it back to me? Because it looks like a farce. What does it mean? For an hour it's yours, and for an hour and then it's mine. The whole idea is that I'm no longer a member, it's your, I give up my rights. So what does it mean I give up my rights and 5 minutes later I'm the boss? It looks, people don't understand, it looks farcical. The reason is we don't want dinim the rabbanon to appear like a joke, and people will mock it and make and view it as something
that, you know, in this day, what is this? So now the Gemara will analyze this whole idea of choizim mevatim. Gufal, let's analyze this argument. Rav says mevatlin vechoizim mevatim. Shmuel says ein mevatim vechoizim mevatim. What's going on here? What's the crux of their argument? Lema, let us say that Rav Ushmuel bepluktu the rabbanon berabelezer kamiflegi. Let us say they're arguing in the machlekes rabban rabelezer. They're arguing when a person gives up his rights in the chutzah. The two people in the chutzah, they forgot to make an eidim. Come Shabbos, they want to, somebody really has a needs to be able to carry from his house into the Eidiv. So the other guy is Mevatel Zeshus. So the question is, when you're Mevatel, your rights in the Chatzar, which means you give up any rights, claims to the Chatzar, the other guy now is the sole owner of the Chatzar, are you also giving up your rights in the house or not? It's an argument Rabbon and Rabbelezer. The Rabbonin say that the house, I only gave up my rights in the courtyard, I didn't give up my rights to the house, so therefore I cannot carry from my house into the courtyard, it's no longer mine. And nor can they carry from the courtyard into my house because the house is not theirs. That's what Rabban holds, that the house is still mine. I still retain ownership in the house. And Rabbi Lezer holds no, that if you give up your courtyard, what's the value of a house without a courtyard? Remember, in those days, the house was very small and the courtyard basically carried most of the things. Therefore, Rabbi Lezer says you must have given up also your rights to the house. If you gave somebody the rights to the courtyard, you gave up the rights to the house. So maybe the two arguments are totally in each other. How is that? The Rav who says that once you renounce, you can take your right back is because I'm still owning the I still own the rights to the house, so therefore I'm still there, and because I'm still there, I can always take it back. Rav the Rav holds like Rabbanon, and therefore I didn't leave it completely. I'm not like a member of another chutz, so I can get it back. Shmuel the Amak Rav Elazar. Shmuel holds like Rav Elazar that once you give up the rights to the courtyard, you give up the rights to the house. So I'm like a member of another courtyard, and Shmuel holds you cannot renounce or give up your rights from one courtyard to another courtyard. And Rav might agree to that principle, but over here, it's not like you're a member of another courtyard. I retained ownership of the house. Omlok Rav, Rav will say, and Shmuel will say that the two arguments are not dependent on each other. Why is that? Rav said, no, Dabri, I hold, I feel the Rabbi Lezer. I can hold even according to Rabbi Lezer. That says that you're renouncing your courtyard, you're also renouncing your house, so how come I can get it back? On Shabbos, I'd kind of go around and say, you know, what's your film over there? I'm a Vatel, she's Chatzedah, she's basically Bittul. When he says when you give up your rights to the Chotzer, you're also giving up your rights to the house in the sense, because what can you do with a house without a courtyard? People don't live in a house without a Chotzer, so therefore when I gave him the rights to my Chotzer, I also gave him rights to go into my house. But as far as to say that I'm no longer a member of this courtyard, me, Amma, to that extreme, who said that he goes that far? I'm still there, and therefore, I'm still a member of this chatzah, and therefore, even though I abandoned my rights, I can always take it back, because I'm not a member of another chatzah. However, Shmuel says, I can hold, even like Rabban who said that you're renouncing your rights to the chatzah, but you're not renouncing your rights to the house, but still I'm considered a member of another courtyard, and that's why I cannot get it back. And why is that? I can't look at Rabban Hassan Malamai, the bottle. Only what I said, expressly said that I'm bottle, which is the chatzah, I give up. I never talked about the house, so why are you taking it away from me? I will mind the bottle me is talagamri, but from the courtyard, I completely gave up my rights. I abandoned it, I have nothing to do with it anymore in any respect. So how can you give it back to me? I'm not there anymore. As far as the courtyard is concerned, I'm a member of another courtyard, and therefore you can't give it back to me. But the house, still mine. But what does the house have to do with it? Maybe I can say that the argument of Shmuel depends on another argument of Tanoim. And what's that? We learned, Mishinosan Rishusai. Let's say they forgot to make it Eidiv, or somebody forgot to join the Eidiv. So he abandoned the rights, his rights, to the people of that Chatzar. But what happened was, after he abandoned his rights, he then started taking things out from his house into the Chatzar. What does that show? That he paid lip service, but didn't mean it. Because if it's not your courtyard, what right do you have to take things from your house and put them into the courtyard? Which, so he says here, the court of mayor, v'hoitzi, if you took things out of your house after you already gave your shus, bein b'shoigig, whether it was b'shoigig, or bein b'nezid, even though he did deliberately, oisit, even if he did it inadvertently without thinking, you basically showed your actions spoke louder than your words, you've cancelled your abandonment, and it's all back yours, and the rest of the people cannot carry. However, the Buddha says it depends. If you did deliberately, that means you're cancelling what you bitul rishos, and therefore oisah, they can no longer carry the chatzah. But the sheg, if you did it by mistake, then ainu oisah, did it by mistake. You didn't intend to cancel your abandonment, and you just took it out to someone else's chatzah, and therefore it doesn't asah. L'chayda, what's going on here? My labah hakamukhi, what's the argument? that Masaban, Rab Meir, who says that even if you did a b'shegik, you cancelled your bittul reshus. Why is that? He holds because I'm still, and proves the fact that even I took a b'shegik, I cancel my bittul reshus, proves that I'm still a member of this chatzar. And therefore, even though it was b'shegik, had no intention, but still, because I'm a member of the chatzar, it cancels what I did. So therefore, mevatlan v'chayz mevatlan, I'm still a member of the same chatzar. However, ma'asava, this holds a mevat chayz mevatlan. The one Rabbi Yudu says only b'meizah, but b'shegik it doesn't happen. Why? Because really, once you gave it up, you don't get it back unless deliberately I say I still own the place. You guys didn't buy it from me, so therefore I can still deliberately cancel it. But if I didn't do it deliberately, b'shegig, we don't automatically say I canceled because we don't say chayzim mevatlan. Again, lav dafka. Maybe kuli alma, everyone holds ein mevatlan chayzim mevatlan. Maybe everyone holds that you cannot cancel again, and therefore if you cannot cancel again, that's why if I did it b'shegig, I don't affect anybody, and the chatzah is still valid. Chatzah, my bitl shus still valid. So how can I make it hold if you did it b'shegig, you lose your bitl shus? But how over here, b'konsu shegig otu mezig, different argument together. Since if you amaze it, took out your items, you ruin it for everybody else. What about if you did it b'shegig? If you did it b'shegig, do we penalize you that we worry that if you can do the b'shegig and got away with it and they can carry away, and next time you're going to give up your rights and deliberately you're going to put things in the chatzah thinking that you're allowed to, without realizing that the only reason why we didn't make an issue out of it is because we did it by mistake. So that's the question. Do we penalize someone who does something inadvertently because next time they might do it deliberately? You do cancel. Ravashi says, I like better the first answer. I'm Rav Shmuel. That's Amar Rav Shmuel, but Plukta Rabban Kumi. I like the way you explained before. They're arguing about whether you abandon your rights to the house as well, so you're part of another chatzar, and therefore, and according to Shmuel, you cannot go from one chatzar. You know that those who follow his opinion, and Rav will agree to that. You cannot abandon your rights from one chatzar to another chatzar. If you abandon everything, therefore, you're a member of the chatzar, and that's why in Chayzim of Atni can't give it back to you. And Rav holds that you're only renouncing your rights to the chatzar, but not renouncing your rights to the house. Therefore, you're still a member of the chatzar, therefore, you can get it back. And I don't like the Gemara's rejection before. Anyway, in our Mishnah, we talked about a goy, that a goy or a kusi. We said that a goy and a kusi, it's not, you cannot join them in Eidiv, you have to actually rent from them. And then we jump from that to Tzduki. And we said that by Tzduki, Rav Gamliel said that Tzduki is considered a Yid, even though he goes against the Rabbanon, he's considered a Yid. And if he's considered a Yid, then, what do you call it? He can renounce his rights. Not like a guy, he can not renounce his rights. But Rav Gamliel told his people, don't trust him, because even though he'll renounce his rights, he might change his mind 2 minutes later. So therefore, whatever you want to do in the Chatzah, do it straight away, before he changes his mind. That was Rabbi Gamliel. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says, no, do everything you can on Friday, because even if you put it out in the chatzah first, if he changes his mind later, it cancels everything. In other words, Gamliel holds, if you were there first, you sort of show that you were the owner, you can continue. And Rabbi Yehuda seems to say, fa-fam. You know, he can change his mind and you're stuck even in the middle of Shabbos, so therefore, if you can't rely on it. So the Gemara will explain. There was an incident with the Tzduki. Shayidori Mona lived with us in our courtyard. Now the question is, why are we even talking about Tzduki? Tzduki. In other words, it sounds like at the beginning of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama would hold that Tzduki is like a goy, you have to rent it from him. And a girl comes along and argues and says, no, Tzduki is like a Yid. Because he's a strong mummer, he's a Yid, he's not from, but he's still a Yid. And therefore, you join him in the Erev. But we don't have the Tanakhama's opinion. So what's going on here? Tzduki Mandakashmei, who's mentioning about Tzduki? Says Gemara Chsuri Mechsi, right, a couple of words are missing in the Mishnah. V'hochik Tanis, I should learn. That the Tanakama hold, the first Tanakama hold, Tzduki Hareik Enochi. Tzduki is treated just like a goy, no different than a goy. Which means you have to rent the space from him, you cannot include him in the aid of enjoying the bread and so on. But Rangamul says, no, Tzduki Enik Enochi, even though he's a Tzduki, he's not a goy, and therefore, he's like any other Yid, he can abandon his rishus if he wants to and so on, his rights and so on. Our father told us, Maru, hurry up.
Okay, now that he abandons rights, do whatever you have to do and put it out in the street.
Right now we're looking shot by you putting out your kalim in the street. You were the first.
And therefore, even if he changes his mind, it's too late because you already sort of acquired sort of possession of it. That's what it sounds like.
And we're talking about it has to be Shabbos ready because what we're doing on Friday is irrelevant. But once Shabbos starts, right away put your kalim there so you show that you've taken him seriously and you've sort of now made that acquisition that on this Shabbos the chutz is yours, and then he cannot change his mind. The yes v'aleichem, so that he shouldn't later take out his own things and he'll aser on you. Says the Gemara, v'atanyu g'taki, learned to support this. That it says, and I prove to you that Tanakama holds a tzeduki like a goy. Hadorim nochim tzeduki by susi. If lived together with a goy or a tzeduki or a basusi, tzeduki were those the Sadducees who followed their teacher called tzaddik, and the basusim were those who followed the teacher of basus who decided that they're not going to listen to anything the rabbis say. They'll take the Torah literally. Hari elu oisin alav. That they are like a goy. So tzeduki Tanakama holds tzeduki is treated no different than a goy because he's a Mechal Shabbos, anything else, he's a mummer, and we don't trust him. And he's like a goy, and therefore you have to require the property, rent the property from him.
My children, Maru, hurry up. And take out whatever you can now. Bring in whatever you want. He used an adjective to describe this tzeduki. Called an abomination. Before this abomination will go out there, v'yeser aleichem, and he will change his mind and ask it on you. He'll try to take it back. Shani bitul shus lachem. He was mevatel as a shus, and therefore do whatever you have to do. Divrei Meir, that's what Meir holds. So in other words, if you basically put your things out there first, you took over ownership, and he cannot change his mind. However, Buddha says, whatever you do on Shabbos, he can always cancel it and change his mind, and all your things will be stuck in the chutzah. So forget it. Do whatever you have to do before Shabbos, because you cannot rely on him. If you don't remember Loshon Acheret, he said a different way. Maharu, hurry up. Or Maharu, hurry up. Vasu tzarchechem, do all your needs. Take care of all your needs. Maharu, say, actually, Teshach, on Friday, before Shabbos. Because he holds that maybe there's two ways of learning Pshat. Either he holds that you can take it back, you can retrieve it. The tzeduki 2 hours later can decide, I don't care if you put your things there, I can still cancel it. Or he holds that a tzeduki is no different than a goy, and a goy cannot abandon his rights, nor can a tzeduki. But the Gemara will conclude the way the first way we learned. They're arguing whether you can cancel your giving away or not. After you, I said I'm abandoning my rights, you put your things there, can I still cancel or not? And if you don't, you can. Therefore, don't trust him. Whatever you need to do before Shabbos. Bring it in, before this abomination will go out. And the yes, so Rav Yehuda, and they all use a very, and Gamliel, both use the same adjective. The yes, Alech, and Asa. The members, the Gemara says, it seems from here, the Chimavki Inu, the other Mafik Iu. Let's say that the people in the courtyard take out their chairs and tables, and then this Tzeduki decides to take out his own things. Loy Osir does not aser on them. We're going to understand now what Rameya said. So I'm just thinking maybe we should start that tomorrow, because tomorrow night, Mr. We'll start some new Gemara there. We'll start that tomorrow. So good Shabbos, everybody.